G'day. So I've been doing this a while. So having done Samba since 2001 and now being based in Wellington, New Zealand, I have seen a lot of the Samba team. I've seen a lot of the things that we do, the things we do well, the things that we have some challenges with. And but I also started to recently actually become a team lead. So on the right there is the list of the other people who are in the Catalyst Samba team. And so, you know, I don't speak for them because I'm probably a bit too passionate about this stuff, but I do want to show that there's more than just me and Gary as part of the group doing work. A few of us get to a conference each time. So I wanted to talk about what we do well in Samba, and I think there's actually some things that we have actually done really well. I mean, being a multi-decade software project that hasn't imploded, a successful pivot from the file server into doing the Active Directory stuff, I think there's actually something really to be celebrated in what we've actually achieved in managing to resolve the fork of Samba 4 and to actually still have one Samba project. And that's some pretty amazing things to do. We do international collaborative development. To some degree, it's cross-cultural, and that, I think, trips us up more often than we quite imagine. So we actually do some things really well in the Samba project. But we also have some other things that we aren't doing quite so well. And I'm really concerned that our contributor counts and contribution counts have remained static for quite some time. There was a boom time in 2008, 2011, where it seems like we had a lot more things going in Samba and there was a lot more commits, a lot more people around. But basically, things have been static since that time, and we lost having students who were contributors. Kai and myself have both grown up and become, you know, professionals doing our thing, but there's not the generation that was us when we started. We don't have so many hobbyist contributors. Kai will attest to how much work it is being a hobbyist contributor, and maybe that's a big part of the problem. But basically, bringing new contributors on seems to be via employment rather than by passion and joining our project out of sort of, hey, this is something interesting to do. So, the Catalyst Samba team has grown great due to our commercial clients paying for us to do development. And that's really great, but I worry that growing the team only by that mode limits us in a way that open source was not meant to be. It was meant to be about being able to actually have people come and join your project without it first being, hey, you've got a job, now your job is doing Samba. In the way that, hey, you'd like to change teams, like Gary's done. So we have been a success. We have successfully avoided becoming a .com project. We've remained independent. Oh, yes. But, we didn't do a MySQL. No one got rich on the IPO, but we weren't ever bought out by Sun and then Oracle. We didn't sell out. No one's retired on their stock options. But I do think we have actually launched quite a few quite decent software engineering careers of people in this room and many beyond. We're passionately independent free software project since 1992. But because we're not a company project with that, we've also lost a few of the other things that sometimes come with having a bit of a direction that we can still, we could potentially have, but we just never did it because it's not our way. So we have no roadmap of any use. The wiki page that hasn't been updated in 2.5 years or something is not really in it. Doesn't really count. So we come here to talk about what we've done, but very rarely do we come here to talk about where we're trying to go. In fact, we don't seem to ever talk about where we're trying to go. If you want to get patches into Samba, you make sure that every patch does absolutely nothing, and you pile nothing upon nothing upon nothing upon nothing, and you make sure that nobody notices what you're doing, because if they notice, they might object. Or they might say, by the way, I've got this bike shed I want you to build and paint. And could you please get that done while you're doing your nothings? So it makes collaborative planning really hard. Because we're not talking about what we're trying to get to, we get the we don't have this sort of overall design, and we actually try and have, well, my work will dovetail with your work, except by, you know, happy coincidence. We have pretty good community behaviour. And I think we pattern good behaviour on our lists, and things mostly work. There are exceptions. I didn't really feel like trying to turn the talk into that kind of talk. But the anti-pattern is that we do really rely on a know-it-when-you-see-it rule of bad behaviour. There's no contact point. There's no code of conduct, which was, you know, I know some people don't like those things, but there's sort of nothing other than that Jeremy starts to see that something isn't right and ends up, you know, going off and being the person yelling at someone on the mailing list. And I am concerned that if something awful was to happen within our community, that we have no actual plan about how we might deal with that. And we've seen in other communities how having no plan ends up really quite poorly, and a lot of stress for a lot of people who end up in leadership positions trying to clean up the mess. Back on the pattern side of things, we have comprehensive tests, like really quite comprehensive tests of our code base. I'm really proud of what we've achieved in the testing space. The thousands of tests, where every new feature comes with a new boatload of tests, and the bugs in general come with tests to prove their fix, and a real passion of ensuring that you even put the test in first with a known fail and make sure that proves the test actually found something, and then the fix, and then, oh, the known fail entry is complaining, and so you remove the known fail entry. So we're actually doing really well on that. But of course we have flapping tests. And these drive everybody stark raving mad. Currently the two that I hate is Raw Notify and the DGRAM NetLogon tests. Because I don't understand why either of them flap, and the second one, it should be really simple. It's just a single UDP packet. How bad can it be? But I mean, I've tried doing a retry to try it again. I've tried, 15 seconds to wait, but I don't know. It never comes back. And there seems to be a replication bug that's going horribly as well. We don't like marking our tests as though that's flapping, because there's real bugs behind these flapping tests, and there's a real hesitance to say, this one's causing too much trouble with flapping, we're going to just ignore it, because we sort of know that we'll ignore it forever. We do CI really well. Now, that quote at the top, automatically maintain a repository of code that always passes the tests. Apparently, that was a quote from the main author of Rust. And Rust is new, hip, and cool, but I'm pretty sure we were doing that well before they even started. So pre-commit CI on the gated auto-build, no mergers, so that we actually know that they stack on tested commits on tested commits. Restarting as the patches go in, the tests that were pending all restart. Like, that stuff is actually, you know, it's a dodgy Python script that, you know, handles it all. But actually, it has kept Samba mostly sane for, when did we do auto build? It's coming up for it's been quite some time. I'm thinking it's getting close to 8 years or so now. But auto build and all the things that we have isn't available outside the team. So the only host that really counts is SNDevel. And there's no easy substitute host for people to set up. And because make test takes 4 to 5 hours to run, you don't want to run it on your laptop, even if you manage to get it to port correctly to work on your laptop, get all the right packages and everything else. So what happens is the patches go up and they're reviewed, and this looks all really good. I really like how the patch looks. Everything's fine. Oh, it failed auto build. Here's the last few lines. You send it back to the submitter. Submitter goes, plays around a bit, has a go with some things, and then the cycle starts again. And it really consumes everybody's time. And you don't bunch the patches up with some other patches you care about, because those patches could fail, and it just, you know, it's just time consuming. We have really clear coding style guidelines. Readme.coding clearly specifies how our code should look. It's mostly C99, it's mostly Linux style, there's some exceptions and things. But most of our code predates our coding guidelines. So we also don't like actually fixing the formatting in large slabs of code, because that would make backports harder. So we end up with, here's the bit of the function that's all re-indented and everything's all looking perfect, it's all within 80 columns and everything's good, and here's the bit I didn't touch, and then here's the bit that's, you know, happily heading over the 80-column limit again and using patterns that we don't do anymore. So we end up with this sort of mismatch of code and this thought that we will eventually reformat it by the slow change of code. But at the million lines of code that we have, it's going to take an awfully long time before just everybody tidying up each function as they happen to work on it ever gets anywhere to having a consistent code base. Gary tells me that we should really just run an indenter over the lot and just be done with it. but the problem with that is that then backports are really hard, and you know, backporting a security patch over that release could just be hell. I don't know. I would love it could do a lot to actually try and get to have a code base that looked clean and that we weren't spending our time arguing about coding style, because you would just run indent on your patches and whatever it produced would be whatever we'd accept. We've successfully implemented code review. And while the time we did it was a bit sucky, Jeremy demanded it, and right now, and it must happen just before we were about to release Samba 4.0. I remember it even managed to have Metz say, is that really important now? Like now? And you know, Metz never says anything, so it still wasn't enough to slow it down. We got code review, and you know, it's now an unquestioned systemic part of what we do. And we have some really, those practices have got the Samba code base better. We have things between the CI and the code review. People are actually getting good feedback on patches. They're not just putting in, oh, that seemed like a good idea at the time. Put it in, revert, put it back in. So, you know, we're doing well. But the workload is quite uneven. I pick up a lot of the code review stuff. I think those numbers are helpfully boosted by reviewing a pile of Noel's Python 3 patches. But it's really quite skewed. And this is why I'm actually quite passionate about the code review and process and things, is because I actually just do a lot of it. It also helps that my role within Catalyst helps me do a lot of that code review. But being so unbalanced means that we have a real trouble with people at the top end of this actually getting quite just overburdened with trying to just keep up with the things that are waiting for review. And the implementation is a bit mixed. Many Samba developers, as we've just seen, give great detailed reviews, and I do really thank everybody who's doing good code, doing work on code review. And I also thank my directors, because the code review I do is all on the clock. So it's something that Catalyst just accepts as part of the overhead of being Samba developers. So I really appreciate that space that's given to me to be able to do that. However, we do have a little bit of a problem. In this back corner over here, there's this cloak of invisibility. It seems to shroud Gary in any of the patches he ever submits, because he's got to the point of suggesting he might try and sneak past the 81st column indicator just to see if anybody might notice his patches. We have a little bit of a problem that Some people seem to review as far as looking at white space and simply yelling about white space and never coming and never actually looking at the rest of the code base or even coming back to say, actually, let's look at the technical things that are in it. Yeah, I wasn't going to name names. We also have a real problem with upfront design review at the start. We don't. I had a really interesting chat with Metz just before, and was saying it'd be really helpful if we could have just a 3-paragraph. This is what we're doing and how we're doing it. And it would probably be good if we wrote that actually at the start of when we started on a project. I think a lot of those fears that everyone else will turn it into their project stop us from describing a little bit of what we're trying to do. But he quite rightly complained that trying to reverse engineer what the design was from the tiny patches that make up a Samba-style patch set is really quite silly. And you know, that time could be better spent actually just saying, actually, your design needs a little bit of work when it's nice and early, before it's, here's the final patch set and we're ready to go in. Many reviews are quick and responsive, particularly when there's good trust between the developers, and we need to work harder to try and get that trust. I've been talking with a number of people here about patterns to try and get code reviewed, about, you know, filtering out the easy patches so as to build up that trust that, hey, I know what I'm doing, before trying to land the really complex, gnarly thing that you were trying to do. And we do get a lot of patches that are just accepted within ours. This looks good to me, and things go in. But as I was sort of mentioning before, some contributors have a really hard time getting attention. Getting 2 reviews for external contributors is a real pill, not just for the external contributor, but for the team member who takes on, I'm going to try and get this patch in. You sort of feel like you own it once you put the first review on, but it can feel like, okay, now I've got to find someone else who wants to look at it as well. And that always, there's no good tracking system or anything for this, so you sort of go out begging. And I think that if we then ignore our new contributors, we don't give them the reactive feedback, we don't start up that feedback loop of, hey, thanks for the good work you're doing, yes, here's, and keeping that loop ticking nearly tight. And so they actually start feeling good about working with us. Instead, they get the dead silence of a patch that's not quite right but not quite wrong, and it all just gets very, very, very boring. And then we lose contributors. So we have a real problem in the area of Python code. We chose to do work in Python because we thought it'd be easy for people to contribute to Samba. We thought the C code would be overwhelming. If we have this Python layer that's doing the tools and things that people likely extend, that would then encourage contributions. And we have had a few contributions, but then they're the patches that nobody wants to review. You know, I will do review on that work, but Jeremy won't. And Jeremy does a substantial amount of the review load and also really watches out for new contributors. And so it's a little bit hard. Also, you know, just feels totally fish out of water on the Active Directory stuff. So, you know, it's really interesting that we've set up this thing that's meant to be, hey, here's the easy way to work, but we can't get the reviewers to then match that back up with here's the good feedback loops. And for reviewers, it's hard to commit to a review of code that is not yet proven, because you get this patch on the mailing list and the person says, this is all good, and maybe or maybe not they've run make test. They may or may not have run the test that they were trying to fix, probably didn't run the source checker over it. And so you said, do I want to go into this can of worms? Do I want to start down this thing that's going to take me the rest of the afternoon by the time I look over the patch, do a local build, you know, beg for a second reviewer on the list? That kind of thing. So something Samba does really well, or not, is solving social problems with engineering solutions. Whitespace issues have been solved with a Git commit hook. Not running make test before doing your commit has been solved by putting an auto build. There's a few other things that we've done where we've tried to interpose engineering technology in the way. So I have my engineering solution. By now, most of you have seen me going around, selling GitLab as the new solution for everything. It won't solve all of our problems, but at least it's not GitHub. But I can see a possibility to use merge requests to describe overall goals, to have email integration from those merge requests so that we still are email-based because we are an email-based project. And GitLab is being adopted by Debian and GNOME. They're running GitLab Community Edition, especially for their communities. So it's a product that people should become even more familiar with the particular things it does. And it's a company that seems to be committed to open source in their open core business model. And I'm quite honest that, you know, the things that it is not a purely open source play, but it is much more of one than GitHub is, for example. So here is the Catalyst staff repo that you'll see some of the work that Gary and I have been posting to the mailing lists. We use this for our day-to-day development. We've moved from our previous custom CI system into using GitLab. Every time we push a change up there, a CI run starts. The master branch is mirrored in just to make sure it's kept up to date. And we've been doing this for a couple of months as a prototype for what the broader team could use. There's no point suggesting something that we weren't willing to use ourselves. I've only done some light testing of the merge request stuff, but enough to show that things like a reply to a merge request will generate an email that coming in by email then becomes a comment on the merge request. And those basic things that we need as an email-based project. Here is the Samba team's official mirror. If you want to set up a private development repo, you fork this one so that the forking logic stuff knows it exists. I've also set up a collaborative development repository. So this one is a place where invited members, currently Samba team members, but we can get people who are on the fringes of our community. We're not going to give them commit access to upstream Samba, but we know them well enough that we want them to run CI, and we know them well enough not to just go and delete or amend other people's branches. So they can run the full CI, and they have the official branches mirrored in so that it's quite clear what things are people's branches. I've asked people to run to name their branches after their username when they're pushing here, and then you get CI. Now, GitLab provides free CI services for simple projects. As long as you can cope within a gig of RAM and a very large disk, you're sweet. They've got CI runners that are responsive, that seem to come up within a few seconds of you pushing a branch. But they don't run the full Samba test suite. We have a particular configuration that really mucked up. Who was I working with? I was working with Noel. And some of our tests rely on EXT4 as the file system. So he was hitting a cleanup one test. And so, unfortunately, Docker uses a file system that is it's a sort of opaque copy-on-write file system, UnionFS, I think, or some derivative thereof. Now, when Samba does not run on UnionFS properly, it is not a sufficiently POSIX file system. So what we have done is we've set up CI runners that host at Rackspace. They're described by an Ansible playbook that Joe Goh set up originally for the Catalyst demonstration of this. So we've first deployed it in the Catalyst Cloud for Catalyst staff, and now we're deploying in Rackspace for the broader community because the Samba team has an account there. So we dynamically deploy 4 CPU 8 gig RAM machines, and we run the remaining test suites that haven't been split up into parts that can run on the free stuff. This about halves the amount of CPU that's needed to do it. It does run for 4 hours and 30 minutes at the moment. We need to work out what is going on with the Rackspace architecture because it's much faster in Catalyst, more like 3 hours 15. But different clouds behave differently. But anyway, this CI is there, and that's what you get when you start pushing these branches. There are a few other quirks I just want to mention about the CI. Sometimes we get failures. You'll see a job fail where it cuts off inexplicably during a build and you get an error 137. I'm working with the GitLab team to understand what's going on there, but there still seem to be a few quirks in some of their systems that we need to work out why it's failing. But most of the failure, and so it's flaps, the flappingness can be a little bit annoying in that respect. I will continue chasing these things down, but I wasn't going to wait till next year's conference to talk about this stuff while we chase down the niggling stuff. So So, could we become a GitLab project? There are many advantages to being mailing list based. But I do fear that we may miss a little bit the GitHub generation. It's possible that they're all off writing apps for mobile phones. And we might sneer that, can the GitHub kids really code to our level? But I think that we need to develop new developers to find us and make their first contribution. I think we need to actually realise that there are some really bright people out there, but that it's simply just a social block, that joining a mailing list to start interacting with the community is no longer what new developers are doing. The thing that you do with, oh, I want to fix this project, is you go and find their project on GitHub and start from there. So if we're not going to have those people lose us before we've got a chance to actually work with them, I think it would be helpful to have tooling that looks a little bit like what they might be used to, and that also might give us benefits in terms of being able to get answers back to them faster, because the computer says, okay, your formatting's wrong. The computer says you haven't passed make test. And so some of those initial things are sort of sorted out for them first without the without needing to go via the mailing list as the first intermediary. And the other thing that I was really surprised was that, so we had some interns at Catalyst recently, and Jamie and the other student who was there as the security intern both knew GitLab like really well, including the finer details of the CI architecture. And my understanding is that Victoria University of Wellington is actually teaching using GitLab. And certainly Catalyst has been teaching using GitHub, which is ironic because we really care about free software, but in our Open Source Academy courses that we run for high school students. So these kind of things are ingrained in the potential new contributors. So we want to try and work with that rather than against it. So what could it look like? I'm not saying go fully move the whole project onto gitlab.com and just surrender all of the infrastructure we've got so far. For the moment, we have a perfect good server in SNDevel, but accept patches that come to GitLab as a merge request and that pass the CI. We could accept them, auto-build them, and close the ticket in GitLab in the same way that we currently close the ticket in GitHub. It's a bit of a manual fiddle because you've got to wait for it to go through, find the Git hash so that the person has some idea where they're at, and close it. But we can do this. Or we can actually develop tools that realise that this branch rebases go, it went in the last day. That'd be good enough. I'd prefer not to do another notification bot because I know exactly how popular the current one is. I'd instead prefer to actually use the actual facilities of GitLab, where it will send you emails on notification. You can filter your own notifications for what things you want to hear about, and that allows the reply by email. So it would involve asking most of Samba Technical to go and watch the project on GitLab, but I think would allow the tools to work the native way they're intended to, rather than trying to work around that. But if need be, GitLab also has an ability for an account to have a notification email so that you can still feed notifications to a mailing list. But I don't think you can reply to that, otherwise it would turn into a spam bot. And in the longer term, I'd like us to consider something like the Project Marge bot. Marge bot is a tool that basically does what Rust is doing with their bores and GitHub, and what we're doing on SNDevel. You line up patches that you've reviewed, you tick reviewed by in the GitLab Enterprise Edition feature for reviews, and you set that the patches have to land with a fast forward onto the tree. And so that ends up, so what MargeBot then does is keeps on restarting, rebasing branches and restarting the CI until they're ready to merge in the same way that we do with Samba. Now, I'm not proposing at this stage because for one thing, we couldn't get it wanted to time out after like 10 minutes of CI, and we've got 4.5 hours. And so there's a few other niggles in that area where it might not scale or we might have trouble. But that kind of automation where we can just tick a few boxes that these patches are okay, there's some, and it writes all the prior review tags in and does all the things, looks really neat. and it's something we can consider for the future. But for the moment, I just want to use it a little like we've been using GitHub, but with a touch more freedom. What issues would it address? Well, merge requests could contain the overall design. So as you update your merge request with new patches responding to feedback, you've still got some details as to what the heck you were trying to do, sort of kept there. The big one is that non-team members get access to continuous integration. Contributors and reviewers can find out if they've broken tests up front, and we can potentially start putting some more of the style and other checks into the CI so that we actually just catch the annoying little stuff that currently consumes far too much bandwidth on the mailing list and that a computer could reasonably pick up. And we could maybe take a compromise that if that passes, then the rest we won't care about so much. We can track outstanding patches and assigned reviewers so that we've got some idea which patches don't have anybody looking at them. And so we could actually have someone sweep that up and say, okay, I'll make it my business to spend Friday morning getting the 5 outstanding patches somewhere, or at least tell them that, look, it's not going anywhere. And we, hopefully we get easier first contributions. So that's what I'm here to sort of suggest as some change potentially make to Samba. And at this point, I'll ask a few questions before I have one last lot of things to do. Any questions or comments on sort of some of this stuff? Okay.
So I have not used GitLab a lot personally. How does the sort of pull request review workflow compare to, let's say, GitHub, which I've used a bit more?
It seems to be much the same. I mean, you just get, you know, the comment stream below the pull request.
Because sort of at work, I've been using Bitbucket and GitHub. Mm-hmm. And I mean, GitHub beats the crap out of Bitbucket in terms of sort of developer friendliness of actually using the bloody thing.
Okay.
And Bitbucket seems to get worse in every like update to the UI they do.
Oh, okay.
So, sort of, I have no idea how GitLab, but maybe I should just have a look at it and see how it.
One thing I had played with is that it's possible to on a branch and on a commission a branch to put comments on an individual diff, and they end up getting tracked in there somewhere. Martin, up the back.
So I think you mentioned GitLab Enterprise for the review stuff.
Yeah, so GitLab.com runs their Enterprise edition. And so, because that's, and I actually really wish someone was running a GitLab Community Edition service as a service, but no one seems, you know, the public services seems to be GitLab Enterprise Edition, which is annoying, because we would prefer to run entirely on free infrastructure if we could. At the moment, now the review stuff for MargeBot uses the feature that they're putting in Enterprise Edition where you can say, I've reviewed it. What I'm proposing here, you would still need to add those review tags manually and push them to auto-build yourself in whatever method you currently use to add review tags. So it would be like GitHub at the moment where a patch file, you know, you can get to a branch or a patch file and still do those bits. The MargeBot web integration kind of stuff would be nice if we could ever A, make it work, and B, decide that was a feature we wanted to use. It's not something we have to, where I'm even really looking at right now, but it's a peek to the future.
But if we decided that we wanted to, and I'm not saying this is what we should decide, I'm just saying if we decided we wanted to host our own GitLab instead of using somebody else's hosted thing, then to get the review stuff, we'd have to be doing GitLab Enterprise.
I think you do it a bit more like how Boars does it with GitHub. Their one you write, you're reviewed by tags, is by typing LGTM in the comment, and so it just tracks that as a reviewed by. You just end up rewriting the script to work around the missing feature, I think.
Okay.
It wouldn't be the end of the world to, you know, to make a bot look at something else rather than the reviewed by tag, I think.
Yeah.
If there's interest, I can also show GitLab, a real-world working GitLab instance that we got hosted for a project.
Okay. Yeah,
be good to have a look.
good to see what it looks like when it's been used for a bit, because I've only got, you know, the very starts of things.
So maybe a slightly inflammatory question here. So assuming we were like, okay, we want to have like this reviewed by thing in whatever thing we set up instead of like parsing comments or something like that, which obviously is the easiest solution. And we were to like go and build that ourselves based on the open source product. Do you think the company would go and accept it? I would be a bit surprised seeing how their business model seems to be having that as an enterprise feature, right?
GitLab is really interesting in how willing they've been to bring features across from the enterprise edition. Like, Samba is strictly rebase-based for its Git flow. And the pressure of Debian and GNOME saying the things that we... and Samba, because I talked to them about a year ago, and we got added to the pile of projects that would like to move to GitLab if this feature was available. Now, actually, we're going on their .com, it don't matter. But, you know, we pitched in, and between the various open source projects, it said, we really like this, we want to move our whole communities onto this, but we want to have the must rebase workflow. And they pulled that forward, and it's now in the community edition. So it's not impossible. There is a bargain that goes a bit of both ways here. GitLab is a startup that's also desperately wanting to be able to say how they're the core of all these open source communities that care passionately about, you know, an open product. And yes, they are open core, and this part of me has a total distaste for that. But it also seems to be the only thing that's even close to what we want. And one of the other things is that you can download everything you've got in the GitLab, and you press an export button, and a few hours later you get an email saying, it's here waiting for you to download it. Now that download is apparently, you can import from the enterprise edition to the community edition. There's some instructions for, like, don't enable these features because they're not there anymore. But that gets us some of the freedom, because when software as a service, having it run on free software is kind of cool, but if what's really most important is to be able to get your data out and back into something that works, because that's where the real freedom comes from. If we're not exercising the freedom now to be able to run our own code, but we need to at least be able to exercise that freedom in the future. So that was one of the things that helps give me some confidence that this is something where we wouldn't find ourselves stuck in a dead end. Plus, actually, when the real work is in the Git repo, I think that the fears of getting locked into providers and things is much less of a worry than like when it was Git or SVN, where it was a lot harder to move out.
GitHub has a reviewer feature. Have you considered using that? I mean, even as like a short term, since we currently have the community GitHub mirror, could we just add a requirement that it can't be merged into, you can't hit merge without reviewers?
Well, we can't. Hitting merge does very bad things anyway.
I know. I'm just saying,
I have to go and manually reset the thing.
We could just say, set it so that it requires two reviewers, and then once people have, and then they can review on there. That's just a thought.
Yeah, if you can show what things are needed to be changed in the interface, I don't mind playing with it. But I think I'm going to put most of the effort into the GitLab kind of thing. I want to. I suspect one bit of advice I did get from people, because I talked to other people at conferences about, you know, trying to do this transition, it was generally suggested not to try and run both sites at the same time. So I think if we do manage to get some kind of momentum towards the GitLab system, I will turn off pull requests on the GitHub side and we'll just leave a mirror there. And a note saying, go over to GitLab to do your thing. But I'm also happy to take feedback. For the time being, I don't want to disturb what we have as a working system there, because it's at least getting people some basic testing. And it actually does a bit more testing than on GitLab for reasons. So on a lighter note, caution, some light trolling ahead. This is a little bit about how I see how Samba works. The most important thing in Samba is solid tested code. It's the most important thing in Samba is clear code. The most important thing in Samba is following readme.coding, despite the bit that says that readme.coding shouldn't trump code. Most important set of thing in Samba is a clear set of patches without unrelated changes. The most important thing in Samba is the 80-column rule. The most important thing in Samba is not the patches, but the order in which the patches are presented. And the most important thing in Samba is white space. So on that note, I will say thank you and ask if there's any further questions.
Yeah, thank you very much for you too, a little Pokemon Go toolkit.
Okay, thank you. And Samba team members, we're trying to do a team meeting between this and the dinner. So for those of you who aren't glued to your emails.